Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where our sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
This morning, let me just give you some background on this message that I want to preach today. This message is called Pathways to Peace. And what happened was when Brother Castelline was here last week and he was praying over us, he shared something with me that God stirred back up in my heart. And he said, "What are you doing with that?" It's like, "Oh, Lord, you're right. What am I doing with that?" A project that I started 3 years ago, it got kind of put on hold. And here's Brother Castelline praying with us, and it just stirred everything right back up in me. A couple years ago, well, for those of you who don't know, I work with addicts. I work with families that are getting ready to lose their children. They're at risk. And a lot of the work that I do, I come in contact with people who are either angry at God and they know the Lord, or they don't know the Lord at all. So I have a real diverse population that I work with. So in counseling, you know, you have to be very open-minded, especially with people who have no concept of God or a higher power or whatever they want to call it at that particular time, because they're completely lost. And then you have on the flip side people that you're working with that you know they have Christ in their background, they have God in their background, but they're so mad and angry and hostile that you have to be very careful how you tread into that. So I use a technique that, you know, that we use in counseling. It's called motivational interviewing. And through motivational interviewing, they give you the answers that you're looking for. Well, you know, can I speak to you about this? Can I not speak to you about this? How do you feel about God? How do you feel about, you know, whatever's going on in the world, whatever is happening right then, you know? So you kind of get some things out of them through motivational interviewing, and they tell you their story. 3 years ago, through the ministry, through R&R Ministries, we work with families of addicts that are Christ-centered. So we work on a Christ-centered basis with people that have addictions. And by the way, for those of you who really don't have a grasp on addiction, it's not just drugs and alcohol. Amen. It has nothing. Drugs and alcohol is not even in the top five in this country. Now, prescription drug abuse is number one in this country. We have a huge problem with that. Huge problem. And it's killing people every day. And it makes no difference whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Jew, whether you're agnostic, whether you're an atheist. You can call yourself whatever you are, whatever you want. Prescription drug abuse is really terrible. And it grabs us because we latch on to that because the doctors are telling us, "Oh, this is going to help you." They don't tell you too much about this is going to also hurt you. So what helps you in the beginning, you become addicted to, not on any fault of your own, but then it hurts you in the end because you cannot live without it. So anyway, that's the number one addiction in this country right now. Number two, believe it or not, is food. Issues with food. Issues with eating. Eating disorders. Number three, this one's going to blow your mind. Caffeine. Caffeine is a huge problem in this country. You know? And you wouldn't think about this, but, you know, when you put them in perspective about how we are as the United States, how many Starbucks commercials do you see during a day? You know, what do you see every time you walk into a Target? There's Starbucks, you know. So you're constantly being pushed in that direction. You got Pepsi, you got Coke, got everything else flying at you that you got to have all this stuff. So number four is nicotine addiction. And it's not just smoking. It's however you choose to inject it into your body. You know, they can give you all these different things that you can do now. They have the puffers and the inhalers and stuff, but it's still nicotine and it's still poison going into your body. And number five, this one right here, this little devil. This is in the top five of addictions right now. So what happens with these things, and just briefly, and then we'll get into the message, is they can trigger the receptors in your brain just like cocaine, just like sex, just like any other drug, just like gambling. It triggers that thing in your brain. So, and if you want to, if you don't believe me, here's what I want you to do. We won't do it, but you can do it later just to test it out. I want you to text somebody that you really care about. Text them a really nice message like, oh, I love you so much. I miss you. And then turn your phone off. Turn it off. I mean, all the way off. And then put it away somewhere. And then see how long it takes you before you want to go check it. I'm serious. I am serious. I've seen people turn these things off after I have them do that. And they're constantly walking over to them and touching them. It's off. It's not going to respond to you. It's off. So those receptors, those things that cause us to, those conditions within us that can lead to an addiction. I'm not saying it's an addiction, but it could lead, are very, very powerful. So today I want to talk about two things. I broke this message down real quick. We're going to go through it quickly. First one, it's called the Pathways to Peace, and God gave me that. He gave me Pathways to Peace as a Bible study for, like I said, people that I was working with who are Christ-centered and they're going through addictions. So when you think of the word peace, let's start with peace. We experienced some peace right a little while ago. That's what we were experiencing, that Holy Spirit moving through us, giving us that peace. But when you generally talk about peace, what do you think about peace? I like that. That is exactly it. Peace in its general conflict is freedom from disturbances. Okay, that's the literal definition of peace, freedom from disturbances. Now, in the Old Testament, when they talk about peace, that's what they're talking about. Oh, the book of Kings, you know, this particular king had 40 years of peace. There were no conflicts going on. In the Chronicles, they had many years where they had 40-year spans, 7-year spans of peace. That meant there was no conflicts going on. And some of the kings had reigns of peace. So they had these periods of time. It was conflict-free. Okay? When I say shalom, what does that put in your mind? Peace. Shalom. So another meaning for peace in the Hebrew was a greeting or a well greeting. You know, shalom, how are you? You know, peace to you. So peace in that context in the Old Testament is very different from peace context in the New Testament. Peace context in the New Testament refers to the Holy Spirit. So I submit to you this definition for peace in the New Testament. It's freedom through the disturbance. We can have peace and be free while we're going through those disturbances. So some of my favorite verses on peace, and I'm just going to share them with you real quickly. First one comes out of Matthew 5:9. We all know this. I'm going to read it. By the way, today I'm talking out of the Message. So if you don't have a Message Bible or you do have access, take a look at some of the scriptures and verses on peace. It will really give you some enlightenment with the beautiful language that it's written in. Matthew 5:9, and I love this in the Message. It says, you're blessed when you can show people to how to cooperate instead of how to compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are in God's kingdom and God's family. What a beautiful way to say, blessed are the peacemakers. Doesn't say, blessed are the peacekeepers. Blessed are the peacemakers. So when you can show people how to resolve and cooperate through that conflict, you're becoming a peacemaker. You're creating that peace with the Holy Spirit working through you. Galatians, we all know, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. We know the rest of that. You look them up. Romans 8, the mind is controlled by the Spirit and the life of peace. You know, our mind is controlled by a spirit and a life of peace. John 14:27, we all know this one. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. In the Message, it says this, and I love this translation. It says, I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you. That's my peace. Don't you love that? I'm leaving you well and whole. He's telling his disciples, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is coming. But don't worry, I'm going to leave you well. I'm going to leave you whole. This is my gift. It's peace. So in those contexts, you know, peace is just a wonderful thing. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. In the Message, it says this, and this is one of my other favorite scriptures, and this kind of ties into this message of why I'm bringing this today. And in Luke chapter 1, it says this, through the heartfelt mercies of our God, God's sunrise will break in upon us. That's all of us. It's going to break in upon us. Going to break in upon us, shining on those who live in the darkness still, those sitting in the shadows of death, then showing us the way 1 foot at a time, 1 foot at a time, down the pathway of peace. A pathway of peace. And I thought, wow, that's where I got the inspiration for that Bible study. So the pathway to peace, that's the scripture that it used. Those are some scriptures on peace. I ask you to look up everything that you can possibly look up on peace and see what God's laying in your life about his peace. So very, very, very awesome thing. So how do you get to peace? How do you get there? Does it just come on us because the Holy Spirit's within us? Does it? Sometimes it can. It didn't today, but we had a travel through the worship and the praise to have that peace be released. So that's a pathway, okay? So in this Bible study, developing that for addicts, started looking at verses on pathways, and God directed me, of course, to Psalm 25 is a great. And when you read these, read the whole verse, the whole chapter, the whole psalm, and not just one verse. But this particular verse stuck out on me. It said, show me your good work, O God. Show me and school me in your ways. Take me by the hand. Lead me one step at a time down a pathway to peace. There it is again, a pathway to peace. Okay, to truth. So studying the pathways, what I did for this particular study was I only pulled 5. Now, there's many, many more. You'll find them all over Scripture. You can look at them. But in counseling, what we do is we concentrate on 5 segments of the body, of a human aspect, which is body, mind, emotions, social aspect, and then we do... I missed one. It'll come to me. But there's 5 aspects, okay? I'll pick it back up here again. But we make sure that we cover all 5. And we want to do that. So in these particular paths, I pulled out 5 different aspects. And in the first pathway that we picked was life. So whether I'm working with somebody who has a Christ base or a Christ-centered or a faith base of some kind, or whether I'm working for somebody who has no base for anything, one of the first questions I always ask them, answer me this, my life will be better when, and let them answer me. Okay? So life moves on. If I was to come over to Kevin and I said, Kevin, your life will be better when?
The people behind me are
they quit kicking the chair. Quit kicking my chair. Okay, so simple things like that. But people do have, you know, it causes them to stop. He's kidding, but it causes them to stop and really think about what is important in their life and how their life is going. It takes them back where they really need to take a good look at their life. And when we talk about life, we're talking about those five aspects. Everything falls into two of the five aspects. So, and a couple good scriptures on that about your life is Psalm 16 and then Proverbs 15. Just read them. You're going to gain so much from that insight. Each word that is going to pop for you, and you'll start looking at your life in a different way. Second pathway that I work with folks is the path of commands. And you go, what is that? You know, especially people who have no concept of God or no concept of Christ in their lives, they go, a pathway of commands? What do you mean? Okay, well, simply break it down, a pathway of morality. What's your life like? You know, you're living this particular type of life. What is your morality? What is your base for that life? What is your plumb bob? You guys know what a plumb bob is? You don't know what that is? You know what that is. He knows what it is. It is a tool that you level a wall with. In other words, if you're laying blocks or bricks or, you know, standing up a stud wall, you can run a plumb line to the top of that. It hangs on a string, and it's a weighted plumb, and it will center itself, and it'll hang exactly true. When it's hanging exactly true, then you can set those walls, and you can run your block by that or your studs by that, whatever, you know. But that's an ancient tool that they, I don't know how many thousands and thousands of years. Now we use levels and lasers and everything else. But a plumb line was one of the first ways that they would take those measurements and line things up. And it, scripturally, a plumb line appears in Scripture, I think, four or five times, so you can look for that, too. It is. It's about God's truth and the Word, a plumb line. Okay, so how do they live a clean life? How do they live a moral life? How do they, if they're Christ, you know, based, how do you live a Christ-impressed life? You know, that's important. And how do you love one another? How do you learn to love one another? You know, you love God, you love one another. That's the great commandments. So those kind of things, you know, depending on who you're working with, you can look in Psalm 119, Mark 12, 28, and you'll see those particular different scriptures and how that applies to that. The path of righteousness, wisdom, and justice, that's the third one. So your mind, what would you think a pathway of justice might be? Just thinking out loud. True and just. You know, God's ways are truth. God's ways are just. So if you're seeking justice and you're seeking those ways, you're going to end up living a righteous life. You're going to live with wise counsel. You're going to be seeking out wise counsel. You're going to be learning how to do those particular things to change your life, to have a gauge on morality, to stop doing some of the things that you're doing, to change your thinking, your mindset. The fourth one is the pathway of understanding. Proverbs 21, 2 Corinthians 6. It means managing and examining our motives and our emotions. You know, we don't want to be ruled by our emotions. Our emotions are important. They're one of those five domains. So it's really important that we have our emotions in check. But they don't run us, we manage them, you know. And Scripture's real clear about that. You know, we do not manage them. I mean, we manage them, they do not manage us, I'm sorry. So understanding how emotions work, understanding what feelings we have, understanding our motives based on emotions. You know, we don't want to make decisions based solely on our emotions, our emotional state. It's really important to look at that. Why we do what we do. That's a great question to ask yourself. Why do I do what I do? And is this good for me? And if it isn't good for me, then why am I still doing it? The last one, the fifth one, is the path of the upright. Proverbs 15 says this, what's it going to take to change your life? And it says that in the message. So what is my life going to look like when I start to make changes? You know, people are afraid to make, does anybody like to make change?
No.
No? You don't, that was quick. No. Change is good. Change is something that's necessary. Hey, listen, we're constantly changing. Our bodies are constantly changing. Our thoughts are constantly changing. Our spiritual life is constantly growing, hopefully. Our age, we're changing every day. You know, you can't stop it. We are constantly moving. We're in movement. So, you know, we have to learn how to embrace change, and that's what a path of the upright is, how to embrace that change and how to hold on to it and say, this is a good thing. David's probably not having some... What, change is no good? No? Okay. So what do, you know, when we come against a block wall and we can't change? Prayer, fasting, you know, counsel. We look for wisdom. We look for somebody who can be an accountability partner and help us in those changes. You know, one of the greatest things that I've ever heard was something by Mother Teresa. I read it many, many, many years ago in the beginning of recovery, and it says, do small things, take small steps with a great amount of love. And life starts to come and build on that. So if we take a small little step towards something that we are afraid to change, then take another step, and but we're doing it with great love, things really start to change in our lives, and we start to embrace that change. So why are we talking about this today? Number one, we're going through some changes. We always are going to go through changes. It's never going to be the same. One thing that I love about identity is sometimes, you know, we walk in and things are different. It's like, who moved that? Who did this? What who did this? You know, we don't do it that way. We don't do it this way. We do it a different way. But you have to embrace change. You have to learn how to realize that when change is coming from God and it's God-directed change, it's going to be for the better. And we as human beings resist so much. It's easier to resist, we think, than it is to change, which is false. It's harder to resist than it is to accept and embrace change. It's hard to not believe in Christ, to not believe in God, than it is to believe. It's harder to build that wall against something than it is just to simply accept. So when we talk about these things and we talk about all the changes that are going on, you know, sometimes it could be scary in our lives. It could be fearful. What is fear? Fear is the absence of trust and faith in God. So if we don't trust God and know that things are going to be right, that He's got this covered for us, we're going to be fearful. We're going to be worried. We're going to be anxious. And we lose our peace. That was, exactly, we lose that peace. So two useless emotions, worry and anxiety, they don't solve anything. I can't think of anything that they've ever solved in my life. They just made me lose my peace. And Scripture's real clear about that. Jesus says, be anxious for nothing. Why do you worry about anything? So we need to learn how to grasp hold of those things and really project those things out. But I think the main thing that I wanted to share this with you today is that. Number one, D, God's going to send a sunrise on you, and you are going to be a light to the dark world. You are going to be a light to those who are suffering. You are going to be a light for those who are in the shadow of death, because you are going to have the peace that God's going to send on you. Karen, you are a light in this world. God's calling you to be a light and let Jesus shine through you so that someone who's suffering, someone who's in darkness, someone who needs a hand is going to realize that and they're going to see Jesus in you. And Bailey, you're a light in this world. You have been called by the Holy Spirit in you to be a light to other young women like you who are struggling in darkness, who are in captivity, who are fearful, who are afraid, who are being mistreated. They're going to see the light of the sun rising through you, and you are going to shed that light on them, and you're going to share your peace through Jesus Christ with them. And they're going to understand what that peace is. And Noel, through your music and your singing, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to share that. That light's going to come through you. You are going to shine Christ's love to people who need to hear that right at that right time. And then you're going to share their peace. And they're going to have the same peace that you have about what you're doing. You see, we're created for those purposes. Those are the things that we are created for. We never know who we're going to run into that's going to need that light to be shined. Don't be afraid. Shine. Shine that love. You know, sometimes we just need to break out and say, I'm going to do it. You know, God's telling me to speak to this person over here in the grocery line. They look like they're fretting. I really don't want to do that. But I'm going to go do it. And we do it. God's telling me to come up to Louie today and share a word for him, right? And I'm going, oh, Lord, I don't want to do that. You know, he's going to think I'm, you know, picking on him or whatever. But if I do it out of love and I say, Lou, you know, God's really telling me to share this word with you today out of love for you because he wants you to shine and he wants you to be able to pass that word on to somebody else who has lost their peace. And you never know who's walking in this door today who has no peace in their life. And this is what we want to do collectively as the body of Christ. Just what we did in here this morning. Share that peace. Show them that there is peace, that it's happening right now. It can be achieved. And it's not about music, and it's not about the singing, and it's not about all the other stuff that we have that's going on. It's about letting God's love shine through us. It's the love that's coming through the singing and the love that's coming through the music and the love that's coming through the prayer. And Cole, good morning. God's going to use you mightily. He is going to use you. You are going to be a pillar in your community and the people that you know. And when I say community, I mean the people that are around you. You know, the young people that you come in contact. Yeah, like, there you go. I don't mean that kind of a pillar. You know, I'm talking about a support. A support. Because you know why? Because the love of Christ is going to shine through you and shine on that person, and you are going to bring healing into their life. Christ's healing, not yours, but healing into their life. You're going to bring a word of wellness into their life. You're going to be a friend. You're going to be a confidant. You're going to be a strong tower for them because Christ is a strong tower in you, and you're going to show them how to have peace through all the stuff that's going on around us. See, there's no guarantee that we're not going to have troubles. Jesus told us that. In this world, you will have trials, but my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. So if I can go through anything knowing that I have God's peace. I have the Holy Spirit in me. I have God's love. And if I'm an instrument of that love, then people are going to get that and they're going to catch that sunshine. And I love that word, that sunshine. When you see it in the message, it's sun, S-O-N, S-H-I-N, Jesus. They're going to catch that. It's going to shine on them. They're going to be something's going to happen within them. They're going to start to change. They're going to be like Christ, but they're going to be looking at you saying, oh, I want what you have. I want to have that peace. I want to have that love. I want to have that direction. I want to be held accountable by, you know, commands. I want to be held accountable to live a good life, to be righteous, to live a moral life. You know, growing up, I'm going to think about what I'm going to say here because I forget we're on live stream. Growing up and family, I'm sorry, I'm not going to say names, but I was not taught morality. Let me just put it that way. My home was very, I don't even think it was dysfunctional because it functioned in a negative manner. Let me just put it that way. So to them, or to the family, everything that functioned was normal. But it was like this. Okay? It wasn't this way. You know, and normal, the only place that you find normal is on your washing machine. That's it. That's the only, or in Illinois. There's normal Illinois. We've been there many times. So, but it's not like this. It's like that plumb bob laid this way. So, hey, this is okay. I mean, I can do this, but I'm not going that far over. I would never do that, but I can do this. So at a very early age, I know God had a call on me. And somewhere along the line, I turned my back on God and turned to other things and was around people who were not good for me and followed man rather than followed God. Because how could a loving God create such an environment where it was just totally intolerable to be there? Totally negative. Can I have that water, please? Thank you. Totally void of all emotion. Totally void of any kind of ethics, morals, whatever. And I watched members of my family slowly do drugs and die. I watched them drink and die. I watched some of them commit suicide because of drugs and alcohol. But there's hope. On the other side of that, I saw some recover and some find God again and some move into that direction of a full life. So that's what we're doing. You know, that's what we're called to do. Great commandment. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, body, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that's peace to me. When we can achieve that and we can do that on a daily basis, we find peace in our lives. And I can't think of any situation other than being a new pastor. Oh, wait a minute. Let me just throw this out at you. When I was a new pastor, when I first got ordained, I was not a very peaceful person. I was very rigid, very hard. In fact, they called me Pastor Rebar. That was my name. And I said, well, at least Rebar, you can... One called me Pastor Rebar. And one person, definitely. But the point is that because of that call, I started connecting back with God, and I felt, you know, getting really close to God. Only one thing happened to me, because I have that addict personality, that never went away. So guess what? As a young pastor, I took on the building project of a huge church. I took on the whole missions team of a huge church. I took on the community missions of a huge church. I took on the worship services director of a huge church. I took on the prison ministry of a huge church. I took on the recovery ministry. Lou's going, yeah, I know what you mean, of a huge church. And I wore myself out. You know, a church doing 5-6 services a week, 7 services a week, Spanish service, youth service, those things. I mean, it was just very demanding trying to make sure that everything got done. So here I became a human doing, only with the title of pastor, which was really a workaholic in pastor garb, and got some really bad nicknames out of it. So the point is, God showed me how to get through that and really start to minister to people who really had no hope. And that was through going into the addictions field. And once I got into the addictions field, I realized, oh wow, this is real work. this is what God's really calling to do. Forget about a building. Forget about all of this stuff up here and projectors and words and TV cameras and films and videos and DVDs. Forget about all of that stuff. Forget about, the community outreach, going to the city council meetings and blah, 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 and, county council and doing all of that stuff. Forget all about that. This is real work, seeing people's lives change, people who had no hope. So what I want to share with you today, I just want you to walk away with something today, and I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up and play. If we could play that same song that we had just a little while ago. I would like for you to just think about what peace is in your life. And if you don't have it, the prayer team is going to come up too, and they will be here for prayer. If you need to get some business done with God, the altar's open. I know we did some of that already today. If you need to heal a relationship, maybe in here, or a relationship with somebody that you haven't seen in a while, or somebody that you can't contact, or somebody who's passed away, and we never got that chance to heal that relationship, you can do it right now. God puts surrogates up for us. And that's what your position is going to be when you start to live in peace and you start to operate in peace. And you find those people out there, Marianne, where you're going to be the sunrise. You're going to let them see the sunrise through you. You're going to shine on them. They're going to smile when they see you, like I smile when I see you, every time I see you. And because you bring that to me. I feel that peace. I feel that love. And I've thank you for that, because I've felt it for a long time, for many years, and I've never lost that. And that's one thing that I cherish between us. Thank you for that. And I know you have a calling out here, and everybody that you touch is going to have that. They're going to feel that peace. So the altars are open. Karen's team's going to come up. If you have some more business to do, it's open for you.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.